Come on, let's begin to praise the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, let's begin to love the name of Jesus right now.
We believe. Come on, I've come against the spirit of doubt that's in this world today that says miracles have ceased and God doesn't move anymore. God doesn't work those kinds of miracles anymore. I want you to begin to believe again that God still works miracles. He still performs signs. He still performs wonders. He still takes away cancer. He still can heal your body. He still can touch your mind. He still can give you peace that passes all understanding. My God, somebody stretch out in faith. Somebody reach out in faith right now. He's still
proving. Just how great He is.
He wants to move right now.
Still
I'll stretch out and touch Him.
Just how great He is.
How great He is.
He's still proving.
Just how great He is. Somebody call on the name of the Lord right now. Come on, let your faith rise right now. Still do great things. My God, you still perform great miracles. With somebody right now, would just begin to grab a hold of a brother or sister. Come on, begin to pray in faith over them right now. The prayer of faith can save the sick. The prayer of faith can drive out evil spirits. Come on, I cast down fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I cast down unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't have somebody immediately by the hand, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Would you begin to pray for somebody that's not here right now? Begin to pray for somebody you haven't seen in a while at church. Come on, get somebody in your mind right now. Come on, it's time to take up their burden right now. Come on, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Come on, get somebody in your mind right now. Begin to pray for them in faith. Yeah!
instead comes to life when you feel the room. God, feel the room. Chains will break and demons will run when you feel the room. He's in 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 the room. My God's here in the room. He's in the room. He's in the room. He's in.
Come on, he's in the room right now. Let's tarry on him. Come on, let's bask in his presence right now. Come on, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. God, I glorify you, dear Jesus. Glorify you, dear Jesus. Oh, let the Lord minister to you right now. Come on, let the Lord minister to you right now. Thank you. worship you today. God, we thank you today. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, when we feel like everything is coming against us, and God is nowhere to be found, he's still moving. He's still proving. He's still ministering. He's still doing things. Oh, no, but I need it done now. No, God's got a plan. God's got a time. God's got a purpose. And he makes everything beautiful in his time. Can we one more time lift our hands and our hearts to heaven? Can we reach out to him out of a heart of gratitude, thanksgiving? Oh, by your spirit, my King. By your mercy, my Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can return to your seats and be seated. Ushers are preparing to receive our Wednesday night tithe and offering as they are preparing. Wonderful announcement today. We finally got the foundation and all the flat work poured at the church. And I'm clapping now, but I wasn't clapping at 4 this morning. At noon, at 12:45, I had been there for 8 hours. And I'm tired. But I'm thankful it's done. I know it sounds kind of profound that every stage that we get to, we're closer to it being done, but it really is. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Now the interior walls can go in. Now we can start doing electrical and HVAC and plumbing and all of the things that need to be done. So we are excited about that. While you are praying during your daily devotions, pray that God would open a door, open a window, and pour out. We'll take blessings, we'll take dollars, we'll take whatever he's got to pour out, but we need it to get this project finished. I think our parking lot may cost as much as everything else entirely. If that is the case, it will double our planned spending, which would double our mortgage, which we don't want that to happen, so we need to pray, saints, pray. And if it does double, we want to have a big enough church to support all that. And I really don't want to spend it all on this building. We need to build another one. This is only 4,800 square feet, so we need to quickly build another one. Now, the good thing about the parking lot and all of that, it will cover most of the next pieces of property or projects, so we'll just have to go with it. If the Lord has a will, we have, and he has a way to make it happen. Amen. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your witnessing. This is a ripe season to witness. The world is in chaos, but the church is victorious. And so be out there being a witness. Be faithful in all areas of the church. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for what we feel in this house tonight. We thank you for your incredible presence that we feel in this place. We ask you, God, to bless the remainder of the service, bless the gift and the giver. We'll be quick to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come. Oh, let's lift our voices one more time tonight. Come on, let's give him praise. He's worthy of it. Come on, do you believe God is good and he's great and greatly to be praised tonight? Oh, we love you. We praise you, Savior. Amen. We're thankful for everyone who's in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. We're going to take some time and walk across the aisle and greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them how glad you are to see them here. Amen. It's been a few moments in fellowship. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? Can we lift up our hands? Oh, can we give God glory in the house? Come on, he's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. He's worthy of our praise tonight. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, someone give the Lord praise one more time. Just because he's good. Just because he's good. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I, along with Brother Carson, would say pray for those who are not here tonight. Pray for those you have not seen in a while. And reach out to them. That's all you can do is reach out. May or may not work. May or may not change the situation. But at least we tried, we reached, we prayed. And that's all we can do. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. I think this is the problem with everyone in this room tonight, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. I would to God we had so much revelation, we just got humbled. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. Now, this is not my topic tonight, but if you read verse number 10, it kind of goes along with what we preached tonight about perpetuating the spirit of revival and enduring until the end. In fact, Brother Mayo's devotional this morning, he specifically said, I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to make it. I take pleasure in infirmities. I haven't got where Paul had gotten. Reproaches don't always feel good. I don't want to shout about them. Sometimes I shout in spite of them, but I don't want to shout because of them. In necessities, that means when the cupboards are empty, when the gas tank is empty, when the bills are due and there's no money coming in, you don't know where it's coming from. I take pleasure in that. In persecutions, I'm going through a trial. People don't like me. I take pleasure in it. In distresses. Man, Paul, that was an encouraging letter. But this is where he said, for Christ's sake, if I'm going through what I'm going through, for Christ's sake, then in my weakness am I made strong. If I had all the power, if I had all the might, if I never had trouble, why would I need God? It's in my weakness. It's in my infirmities. It's in my troubles that I thank God I have a Savior. But I want to draw our text tonight, our attention to verse number 9. As he prayed for this, he said, let this depart from me. Even Jesus prayed that prayer. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And he said this, my grace is sufficient for thee. I want to preach tonight. I'll give you my title in a moment, but I want to preach on grace tonight. Probably not in the way that you think, probably not in the way that you have heard, probably not in the way that you would come to understand, but in a way that I feel would help us in life. Let's lift our hands all over this house one more time. Let's give the Lord the glory due his name. Savior, we glorify you. We thank you for your abundant grace, your manifold grace. Come on, his manifold grace. Many layers to his grace, many layers to his mercy, many layers. Oh, come on, reach out to him right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We hear a lot, 159, 170 some scriptures in the Bible talk about grace. First time in the New Testament is talking about Jesus growing in the grace of God. A lot of times when the disciples or the apostles write letters, he said, the grace of God be with you. We know that we're saved by grace, and we'll get there. The other day, my wife and I were having a conversation. I think it was Monday evening, Tuesday morning. And we began to talk about just giving some people, some things, some situations, life, just a little grace. If people would approach things with a little grace, first thing that I thought about was this scripture, my grace is sufficient. And as I was getting ready to climb into bed Monday night, the thought came to me, is my grace sufficient? I know his grace is, but is my grace sufficient? And so that's the title of my message tonight, is my grace sufficient? Do I have enough grace to pass it out to somebody else when they need it? The Bible tells us that the word grace in 2 Corinthians 12:9 means graciousness of manner or act, literal, figurative, or spiritual, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Saved by grace, but do I have grace? Do I show grace? Do I display grace? Is grace reflected in my life? Do I come off as harsh? Do I come off as mean? Do I come off as uncaring? Do I come off as not compassionate? And I'm not just preaching about the pastor tonight, so y'all keep shaking your head. Yes, you do. Yes. Have some grace, church. I'm asking all of us, do we get frustrated with the waitress or the person in front of us? How come it is that when we're trying to find an address, it's okay that we go slow? And if they honk at us, we're like, hey, I'm looking for something, relax. But if someone's doing that in front of us, if someone's lost, I really get sad when I get around somebody that I'm a little frustrated with and I see it's an old lady. God bless them. God talk to their kids, take their license away. No, I'm just. You got to have, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're. Maybe she's on her way to a doctor's appointment that she's afraid of going to it. Maybe she just got some word from family that she didn't want. I don't know, but I want to know this. God, let me have some grace that reflects in the life that I live. I am what I am. Popeye didn't say that first. Paul did. I am what I am by the grace of God. If I have success, it's by the grace of God. If I have character, it's by the grace of God. If I have integrity, it's by the grace of God. If I've acquired some things, it's of the grace of God. If I've lost everything, I still have the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was bestowed upon me, not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. Not yet I, but the grace of God which was with me. I killed the church. He just said it. I persecuted the church of God. If anyone understands grace, it's me. I didn't deserve it. I shouldn't have had it. But I labored more fervently. I labored more abundantly. I worked harder because of the grace of God. There go I. But for the grace of God, hey, we are one step away from homelessness. We are one step away from bankruptcy. We are one step away. We don't know what the person on the street is going through, but we need to have a compassionate heart and say, there go I, but for the grace of God. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. Don't get haughty. Don't get all indignant. We are saved by grace. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places. We're in the house of God tonight, feeling His presence. In a rented building, in an uncomfortable circumstance, in some unknown situations, but we're here by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be lost on our way to hell. But I'm in the church. I'm sitting in heavenly places when I don't deserve to sit in heavenly places. That the ages to come, He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. None of us deserve it. It is the gift of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We shout about that. One God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Shout about the oneness of God. Shout about being in the church. Shout about knowing who He is. But also remember, we've all been given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I should not be here, but His mercy. I should not be in the church, but His grace. I should not be alive today, but His grace saved me. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Grace teaches us things. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Oh, we're saved. The denominational world would say we're saved by grace. We don't have to do anything. That's not what grace tells us. That's not what grace teaches us. Because of grace, I'm going to change some things. Not because the pastor preaches them, but because I'm saved by grace. Grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's not just a pastor preaching standards or holiness or separation. That's because I don't have what I deserve. I didn't get what I deserved. And so therefore, grace tells me live righteously, live soberly, live godly, flee lust, push away these things, don't follow after the world, deny ungodliness. Luke 6 and 31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I mean, if I want to be treated with respect, I got to treat people with respect. If I want to be loved, I got to love people. If I want to be admired or honored or be an inspiration, I've got to inspire people. I've got to live a life of honor. For if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? You know what that word thank actually translates to? What graciousness have ye? It's the same word that we used, my grace is sufficient. It's what reflection of life have you if you only love them that love you? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them that do good to you, what graciousness have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them whom ye have hoped to receive, what graciousness, what thank have ye? What reflection of life are you getting out of that? For sinners also lend sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend, hoping for nothing. And reward, your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful. And to the evil, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be ye therefore compassionate. Be ye therefore gracious. I did not think I was going to get a whole lot of amens tonight. In fact, I made a point. You better just preach what you know to preach and don't say anything else, because you're going to have to live this message. I have been said things. I have been told things as a pastor that I would never tell some people that I don't even like, much less my pastor. But you got to smile and take it. Caleb and I are, old brother prophet, are playing good cop, bad cop on this job site. He's a bad cop, I'm telling you. All I know is he made a phone call and about 15 guys showed up at dark getting their job done. And they were there at 5 o'clock this morning, thank you very much. And the good cop had to be gracious. And I'm just as frustrated, because I'm the one signing the check. But I said, look, I know, it's not, but I'm the pastor. I can't let my nature. Well, we'll let you, you can repent. I a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. I mean, hey. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes apostolics, because we have truth, because we have understanding, because we have revelation, sometimes we walk around. Sometimes we treat people. Sometimes I've been places with people who treat waitresses horrible. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what position you hold. If you treat people horrible, I don't want to go with you. I don't want to be associated with that. I'm not saying taking care of business and doing what needs to be done, and the conversation that Brother Caleb had with a man needed to happen, and all of that was fine. And when it was all said and done, it was all said and done. It was fine. But what I'm saying is, we've got to stop and can be. We got to understand. If sinners treat their own family right, what good are we if we only treat our family right? If sinners treat business partners right, who are we if we only treat the ones that we like right? We got to do good to them that hate us. We got to pray for them that despitefully use us. We got to heap coals of fire on their head. How? By being kind. But they did me wrong. They hurt my feelings. They said this. They said that. They did this. They did that. Where sin doth abound, grace does that much more abound. Where there is wrong, there needs to be grace. Where there is hurt, there needs to be grace. Well, I'm justified in my anger. No, 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 no. We are not justified in our anger. We are not justified. But where sin abounded, grace did that much more abound. That as sin reigned upon death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. The one that did you wrong, if you show grace, they may get saved. The one that hurt your feelings and said all the bad things, if you show some righteousness, if you show some kindness, if you show some forgiveness, hey, they may be saved. I don't ever want to get so mad at somebody, I want them to be lost. I don't ever want to get so vindictive towards somebody that I want them to go to hell. God save them. God save them. God save. Hey, that could have been me, but it wasn't. And so by grace, I'm saved. So God, show grace. Show mercy. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That word corrupt means worthless. Is there value in it? There's very little, if any, value in gossip. The only value is the price you don't want to pay. Don't let worthless communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You know what the word edifying means? Building up. Corrupt communication tears down. Corrupt communication tears apart. Corrupt communication divides. But good communication builds up, edifies, strengthens, buffets, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Let us be ministers of grace to all those that listen to us. No matter if they're eavesdropping, no matter if they're in the conversation, if they hear us, only let them hear grace. Only let them hear mercy. Only let them hear kindness. Only let them hear revival. Only let them know there's hope. You know why some people only talk to some certain people and go find other people? They want to find someone who will affirm what they're saying. And if you don't affirm what they're saying, they don't care. No, I don't affirm what you're saying. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's not helping. Well, whoo, Lord, give us grace. I get it. There are things I've been done wrong. I've been hurt. And I'm right. That's the worst thing, is when you're right. You know, you can talk all you want when you're wrong and nobody cares. That's just a blowhard. That's just, but when you're right, you feel justified for saying it. You know what a lot of it is? I want to get the narrative out. I want to set the plot. Well, give me Bible. I'm still reading the same scripture. I'm still in the same verse. The Bible said, that it may minister grace to the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want God to hear me talk and be grieved. I don't want God to hear me. Well, whereby we are sealed to the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That doesn't sound like graciousness. I've watched bitterness kill people. I've watched bitterness kill the victim. I've watched malice kill the victim. And I've watched the victim come out victorious because they wouldn't give place to the devil. And they wouldn't grieve the Holy Ghost. And they allowed, see, here's the deal. This is what the Bible says, evil speaking. I thought to myself, what is that word evil speaking? What does that phrase mean? I mean, I think I know what it means. You can read your Bible without translations and still get the same message. But I just wanted to know, and you got to understand, it literally translates to vilification. There's got to be a villain in my story. There's got to be a villain. And I'm going to make sure everybody knows who it is. Can I just tell you, if they're truly the villain, everyone already knows it. And if they're truly the villain, I'm not looking for victory. I'm looking for vindication. Oh, it's quiet. And it should be. We're showing grace. Nobody should be chomping their gums saying, amen. Get them, Pastor. Because at this point, I'm afraid to leave this house tonight. When I get done preaching this message, I'm going to say, Lord, come quickly. Because you know what? As soon as I walk out these doors, someone's going to say something to me or do something to me. And I'm going to have to remember, thy words bear witness against you. I may get cut off. I may. If they are truly the villain, others will see it. And I don't need to talk about it, nor seek vindication. We must forgive them as he has forgiven us. Forgive us our trespasses. Those that trespass us like he has forgiven our trespasses. That whole scripture about giving and shall be given, let's talk about forgiveness. You know, I sometimes deal with things in a way that people would be shocked because I didn't just come down with the hammer, because I remember. I remember that I found mercy. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Stand to our feet tonight. Someone's going to say something that you don't like. Someone's going to do something to you that you don't like. Someone's going to, what's that? This is B.C. This is B.C. And all I can remember is these little words right here. It's another somebody done somebody wrong song. That's going way back. That's another somebody done somebody wrong song. There's songs about everybody doing somebody wrong. They're going to cheat. They're going to lie. They're going to steal. What's that song by New Hope? I've been lied on. I've been cheated. I've been talked about. I've been mistreated. I've been tested, I've been tried, and I still believe that God is on my side. I still believe in a God that never fails. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then his grace is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's manifold. Preached a message one time. They talked about the shades of sin. There's shades of sin. You know, for light sin and heavy sin. I mean, I know being lost is being lost, but I don't want to be lost for a little white lie and go to hell with a bunch of people who are corrupt whatever's. But for every shade of sin there is, there's grace for it. For every big sin or little sin, however we justify it in our mind, there's grace for it. Murder. No, Pastor, no way. Ask Paul. Fornication. No way. Ask David. And murder. Well, yeah, but that's old. I understand. But we are living in a world where there are people in the world who have committed some of the most ungodly, heinous crimes, who may come in the church and need to find mercy, need to find grace. I can't look down my nose because I never did that, because I did enough stuff that God showed me grace for. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I can take pleasure in my infirmities because he's been there. He was tempted in all points. Like, imagine if he played the victim card. Imagine if Jesus played the victim card. You created this. You designed this. This was your plan. Now you're playing the victim? He didn't play the victim. What the Bible says, a contradiction of sinners. He was a perfect man. He was a perfect Savior without sin. And yet he let them crucify him. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of trouble. You know why I don't want a bad spirit? You know why I don't want to get bitter? Because I want to find grace in time. You know why I don't want to walk around with a chip on my shoulder and a victim mentality? Because I want to find grace in time. I want to find grace when I'm in trouble. I want to find grace when I fail. I want to find grace. Hey, I don't want to be like the man saying, forgive me. Forgive me of this little bitty debt that I have, this huge debt that I have. And then go out and charge somebody who did me wrong just a little bit. No, I want to have grace. I want to be gracious. I want to have a reflection of life that people see grace. I want to be able to walk to an altar with my hands raised. I want to be able to walk to a prayer room with my hands raised. I want to be able to walk boldly because I did not charge foolishly. I did not charge God nor man foolishly. But I understand that grace is my grace, is my grace, is my kindness, is my graciousness sufficient. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but this is definitely food for thought tonight. How do we respond when people say things we don't like? How do we handle things that people say or do, or offenses or wrongs? And I'm not saying tonight that when you're wrong, that when you're wronged, that you're wrong. I'm not saying tonight that when bad things happen, that you can't be hurt. What I'm saying is, when it happens and you're right, just thank God you're right and thank God for grace. It could happen that you're the cause and you're still going to thank God for grace, but you're going to say, you know what? I'm the one that was persecuting. I was the one that was causing all the chaos. puts a whole different perspective on grace. When it's not just God's grace that we got to worry about, it's our grace. I don't want to grieve God. Come on, anybody feel touched by this tonight? Anybody feel pricked in their heart? Come on, people are going to do things different than we do. People are going to say things different than we do. People are going to treat things different than we do. But let's have grace. Come on, let's have grace. Let's have a little bit of mercy. Oh, God. I thank God for what we feel in the house tonight. I thank God for his presence that's here right now. Come on, reach out to him. Come on, reach out to him right now. Come on, if you're struggling with hurt, if you're struggling with bitterness, if you feel like all you got to do is talk about your problem, tonight's a night to get a revelation of grace. You're gonna have to pry it out of me, and you're not going to do it when I'm saved by the word of my testimony. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb, but I'm saved also by the word of my testimony. Come on, all over this house tonight. Lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your heart.
Where would I be? Grace, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. If not for grace, amazing grace.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
How sweet the sound. I once was lost. Thank God I'm found. A hopeless case, an empty. If not for grace, where would I be?
Oh, where would I be tonight?
You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love.
Oh, Jesus.
A hopeless case. Not for grace.
Come on, let's lift our hands all over this house. God, I glorify you, Jesus. Come on, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Come on, his grace is still amazing to me. I say, Pastor, why did you preach this tonight? Well, number one, I felt like the Lord laid on my heart Monday night. Confirmed it again Tuesday. But here's the deal. Here's the reality of all of this. There's nobody in this house tonight that's perfect. Everybody in this house has idiosyncrasies. And I won't even say capitalization on the idio. Everybody has ways of doing things that may be different from somebody else. I am a human being. I get tired. I get grumpy. I spent 27 years under a pastor who, when he got grumpy, we said he's in a business mood. That meant avoid him. Nobody got mad. Nobody, I mean, there were people that left, but people just knew. I mean, what's it going to be like pastoring 600 people with 9 branch works in a Christian school and being called by pastors all over the country to help their problems? I might be grumpy too. Even Jesus got tired and would have no man know it. I'm going to go hide myself. I don't even want to deal with it today. Have grace. Man, they said this to me. Well, maybe they had a bad day. Have grace. They didn't call. Have grace. They don't do anything around here. I'm sorry, we're building a church. Have some grace. We'll be back to normal schedule as soon as possible. I can't wait for Monday night prayer, Thursday night music practice, and Saturday outreach, and Sunday morning church, and fundraisers, and all the things that we normally do that we've been doing. But we're building a building, and it's in part. Even when you go into a business and they're remodeling, they say parting our dust, and you still order a cheeseburger. You order a nasty cheeseburger in a dusty restaurant with a sticky floor and get mad at the church because something ain't going just right. And you go someplace else and they got sticky floors and processed food. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. Have grace. Have grace. Is my grace sufficient? I showed up and nothing was going on, right? Whatever. I don't even know. I feel like Brother Mayo. I'm just throwing things out there. They stick, they stick. I don't know. If something I say hits you, don't yelp. Old Brother Louie said if you throw a rock in a pack of coyotes, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Just don't yelp. Just say, that was for me. Praise God. Have grace. Thank God for it. Amazing grace. Anybody thankful for amazing grace? Is His grace still amazing to you? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Working at the church tomorrow night. If you want to come by, please. Please, 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 please don't go by with a nail and write your name in the concrete. I was praying all day that some kid from the neighborhood didn't ride over there their bike and we just have tire tracks right in the middle of the sanctuary. But we'll go by and see it. We have shingles on. I think like 4 bundles. But hey, Caleb's only one man, and if we could clone him tonight, his wife would be like, no way. Anyway, God bless you. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.